Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand today. Say Jesus. How is everybody doing today? Very good, very good. We want to welcome everybody watching online and in North County. We have any visitors here today from out of town? Anybody here visiting from out of town? Welcome. Let's give the people a hand. God bless you. God bless you. My name is Miles. I'm the pastor of The Rock, and it's a pleasure to be here. Have all y'all done your Christmas shopping yet? How many of y'all going to wait till the 24th? Because it's a Saturday, so you get to wait till the 24th. Amen. Amen. I want to bring your attention to two quick things. One is Toys for Joy. We have a Toys for Joy event in a couple weeks, and we need about 6,000 toys. It always ends up being we need several thousand at the end, so this is nothing new. We've been doing this for about 14, 15 years. We started the Toys for Joy event before the church, several years before the church. So we give out toys to thousands of people, families, food, clothes. Last year, I think we gave out 10,000 articles of clothing, and we share the gospel. And so hopefully you'll be a part of that. It's right here in San Diego. So bring a toy next week, or even during the week, you can bring it during the week. You could actually go online. You could actually donate money. We get a very good deal on toys, probably 70% of what you would buy for, so you could do it that way as well. So well, hopefully you enjoy that. And after the service, if you go in the back, we have some ways for you to minister to our community. Amen? Yes. Amen. So let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bible. Say word. Word. One more time, say word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan, lesson plan. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2. And as we, by the way, Merry Christmas. Everyone say Merry Christmas. I want to encourage you to keep pressing Merry Christmas. Okay? I understand there's a lot of holidays going around, but ain't no holiday like Jesus' holiday. Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party. So take Jesus out of Christmas. You got nothing. You got nothing. Okay, here we go. I want to read a few myths to you. Myths. M-Y-T-H-S. Myths or urban legend. One, that reading in the dark damages your eyes. How many of you heard that before? Well, according to the notes I have here, it's not true. According to the notes I have here. So all these views are not expressed representatives of the Rock Church. These are just things I was told. I wish I had that down better than that, but you know what I'm trying to say. It will definitely fatigue your eyes, but it can't hurt your eyes in any way. It won't make you wear glasses. Another myth, waiting an hour before swimming. How many of you told that? If you eat food, you got to wait an hour before you go swimming. Again, if your kids eat, don't throw them in the water in 10 minutes after, because I said so. But the myth is completely false, that you should wait about 10 to 20 minutes, and then you can go in and eat. I mean, you can go in and eat in the pool. So there you go. Myth number three is that you should tilt your head back to stop your nosebleed. How many of you heard that before? Nah, that ain't true. That ain't true either. Just sit up straight, lean forward, pinch your nose underneath the bony bridge in your nose, and then sneeze 20 times and your nose will stop bleeding. No. How many of you heard before that there's no gravity in space, that you can just float? That is not true either. There's gravity everywhere. There's no place there is no gravity. Matter of fact, the reason that the planets stay in the distance they are and rotate around the sun is because of gravity of us, the sun pulling us to. When if you imagine the space shuttle goes up through the atmosphere and has all those rockets trying to get through the Earth's gravity, and then it gets out into the atmosphere, the gravitational pull where the space shuttle is 90% of what the gravitational pull you feel right here on Earth. And actually, the gravity of the Earth is pulling the space shuttle around the Earth. So there is gravity everywhere. There's never anywhere there's no gravity. How many of you heard that if you don't work out, your muscles will turn to fat? Yeah, you may be shaking it, but that ain't your muscle, okay? That's it literally is fat, okay? There's a difference between adipose tissue, which is fat, and muscle. They're very two different two completely different materials. Just as a side note, when you eat meat, you know, chicken meat or steak, that's the muscle of the animal. How many of you didn't know you were eating muscle? Okay, that's the actual muscle. And then you see the fat. So you look at the fat and the muscle, two different things. So muscle never turns to fat. Okay. How many of you heard that we only lose 10% of our brain? Okay. That's not true. I don't know what percent we do use, but it ain't 10%. I was like, wait, why didn't he tell me what percentage it is? I don't know what it is. It's probably like 2, but it's probably less. But that's just me, because I don't know any better, okay? How many of you heard that the tongue has different taste zones? Like, are you sweet over here, salty over here? That's not true. The whole tongue tastes all things the same. And so how many of you heard that Jesus was born in a barn and that Mary was turned away by the innkeeper? How many of you didn't hear that? You never heard that story? Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm going to propose to you that Mary was not turned away by the innkeeper, that she was actually accepted into the place where they went, and Jesus was not born in a barn. Let's pray. Lord, we just pray that that the pastor's not lying and that the Christmas story really is true. So I pray you help us understand what happened. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read the story. What are we going to do with our manger then? chapter 2, verse 1, it says, Luke 2, it says, it came to pass in the days of the decree went out that from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So everybody had to go home to where they were born, where they were from, and register so they can tax each community appropriately. It's just like a census, same thing. Verse 2, this census took place while Quirinus was governing in Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. Let me read that verse 4 again. Joseph is Mary's betrothed husband. They had not had sex before, and she is pregnant. And he had to go back to his hometown. He was of the lineage of King David. That was his family line. Bethlehem is the city of David. He had to go back to Bethlehem. Ironically, Bethlehem or Bethlehem. Everyone say Bethlehem. Don't spit on the neck of the person in front of you. But Beth is a house, and Lehem is bread, house of bread. And so Jesus is the bread of life. He's going to be born in the house of bread. Ain't that ironic? What a coincidence, God. How you do that? Verse 4, it says, Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. It says he went up because Bethlehem was built on a hill. Nazareth was low. He literally went up to a higher elevation to the city of Bethlehem because he was the house of the lineage of David. So he is going back to his hometown. He's also of the family of David, which is a royal family. And all throughout the Old Testament, the Messiah was going to become, was a son of David, of the lineage of David. And so he's going back to home to be registered. And it says, verse 5, he went there to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. She was pregnant. And so it was while they were there that the days were completed for her to be delivered. She was in labor, getting ready to have a baby. I'm sorry, it's inside joke. I'm cracking up inside right now. You ever see those people that you say something funny and they go, that's so funny, and they never laugh? So she brought her firstborn, forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. Everyone say manger. Because there was no room for him in the inn. So we're going to talk about what this really means and what a manger is and what an inn is. And then we're going to show you a house in biblical times, because a house in biblical times was a one-room house with an extra room, guest room, often called an inn. If you could show that picture up here. Now, it's coming. There you go. Now, I want you to imagine looking down on the house. Okay, so down bottom left, you have a door, and then it says a stable. So you have animals in the house. And then you go up the steps into the living room. And in the living room were these two troughs where the animals fed. So I want you to imagine the animals standing down here below the stage, and the manger's up here on the stage, and the animal's head would be above the edge of the stage, and he would eat. So it's like second floor is right here. So the animals are going like that. So you had the living room, and then in the back, you had a guest room. That guest room was often called, well, the Greek word was kataluma, and they used that word to also describe an inn. If you turn to this side view of the house, this is the side view. So you're actually walking in the front door on the left, and the animals would be down there on the ground floor. Then you walk up the steps into the family room, and right at the top of the steps would be the mangers where the animals would eat. Just imagine an eating trough where they would eat, and they would just stand there. A lot of times they put the animals in the house for heat, and so no one would take the animals. And in the back room was the inn. Now, if you look throughout the Bible, Elijah was traveling. He went to a woman's house, a widow's house, and he stayed in the inn or the prophet's chamber or the guest chamber. That's what that house room he stayed in. Sometimes that room was an upper room. If you remember when Jesus ate the Passover dinner, he says, I'm going to go to the upper room. It was a guest house in another house. And so what happened was, if you go back to Luke, in Luke chapter 7, let's read the story. It says, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. So what happened was, he came to the house. Now you have to understand, she was pregnant. This was his town. Okay, it would be odd for people to turn him away. And here's this woman who's getting ready to have a baby. And so he comes in and they say, listen, we have someone staying in our guest room, in our kataluma, or our inn, but you can have the baby in the living room, and we'll put him right in the manger, okay? And so here, this woman, here's this family, has these people in her house, and she invites Christ into the house to have the baby right in the living room. Point number one in your notes. Make room for Jesus in your crowded life. Whenever you read the Bible, you have to understand that the Bible is God's word, and God inspired every word in the Bible. And the story of the Bible is a story of hope for mankind. These stories are not mythical stories from the first words in the Bible to the last words in the Bible. There was a man named Adam. There was a woman named Eve. And there is going to be a heaven and a new heaven and a new earth. Christ is going to come back. And so Adam and Eve were in Revelation, in Genesis. And in Revelation, you have Jesus Christ in heaven. In the new heaven. Everything in between is very true. And all the details of the story are very true and very specific. And Christ coming to the earth, Christ came to the earth to give us hope. And every detail about how he came to the earth is relevant to that story of hope. And one of those details is the fact that he came in very humble beginnings. He was not born in a big palace. He was not born with a lot of wealth. He was actually born very poor, like a common person. The Bible says that the common man or the multitudes heard him gladly because he was a regular communicator and he hung out with people. So all these details are very critical to us understanding who Jesus was. Because sometimes religion can put Christ on a bigger pedestal as far as our relationship to him than he is. In other words, Christ told us to come to the throne of grace with boldness or confidence that he will understand what we're going through. Because he lived 33 years in this physical body, dealing with all what we dealt with. So all the details of his life are very critical for us to understand, because they're very relevant to us understanding how we are to relate to him, what kind of relationship he wants to have with us. And it all starts with how he was born. So here he comes to this house, his mother's pregnant, and they say, look, my wife's going to have a baby. Mary's going to have a baby. And they say, you know what, we have someone that's staying in our guest room, so you can't stay there, but you can come right in our living room. And he could be born right here in the manger. Now, I want you to imagine this, that when my wife was pregnant with our first child, it was Saturday night. And we were eating at a restaurant here in town called Nicolosi's. It's an Italian restaurant. They've been around for a long time. Anybody know Nicolosi's? It's some good food, right? And this was in 1985. It was a Saturday night, and I was playing football at the time, so we had a game the next day. And so my wife goes into labor Saturday night. It was a false labor. And then so the whole time of the game, I'm like, you know, get the game over with. My wife's going to have a baby today. And so it was the only game in my 4 years of NFL that went into overtime. Figure that, right? It'd be that day. And we were playing the Raiders right here in San Diego. Thank God it was a home game. And it was the only time that in my 4 years that we beat the Raiders. Because of my baby, right? You know what I'm saying? But I remember, like, I got to get out of here. I got to have a baby. You know, let's get the game over. And the game was in overtime, you know, blah, blah, blah. I remember running off the field, taking a shower, and I was literally coming out of the shower. Guys were still coming off the field. I was so, like, I got more important things to do. I was driving through the parking lot, almost running people over. People were cursing at me because, you know, the game is crazy. And I ran through because when I got into the locker room, I made a phone call on the pay phone. Well, y'all remember. How many of y'all don't know what a payphone is? Anyway, how many of you have never put money in a payphone? Look at y'all. Never put money in a payphone, right? You got it's a phone. It's about this big, and it has a little slot. You put coins in, and you go clang, 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 and you got to dial. And then you know if you put enough money, your call goes through for as much time as you just bought. So it's payphones. Do they still make those anyway? Do they still have payphones? I don't even see payphones anymore. So I remember calling payphone, and because we didn't have a cell phone, I couldn't call her, and I couldn't call a hospital. I had to call my house, and no one was there. Someone must have been there to tell me she was in labor. So I went and drove to the hospital, and she had the baby. She had our daughter at 12:30 a.m. Imagine someone coming to your house and saying, I'm getting ready to have a baby, and you have guests at your house. Okay, you're thinking, man, this could take all night. There's going to be water, it's going to be blood, it's going to be nasty, you're going to be screaming, you're going to be yelling. Oh. So, you know, I don't know if I want to deal with all that. They brought her in the house. You need to consider inviting Christ into your life, into your crowded life. In other words, you got to move, you have to change your schedule for Jesus. You know, he doesn't just want to be fit in when you have time. Everything else has to be in your life if he allows the time. And say, Lord, you know, I want you in my life. I want you in my life. I have this going on, this going on, this going on, this going on. But you know what? None of that stuff is as important to me as having a relationship with you. And so him coming into that house is kind of, we always look at the innkeeper as a bad person, but I think it's the really opposite. As this family said, you know what? We got a lot of stuff going on, but we want you. We want to accommodate you, Mary. We want to accommodate the birth of your son. And by the way, there was a manger in the house. And he was born in the manger, just like the Bible says. Look at number two in your notes. Number two, make room for Jesus as a family member and not a guest. There's two different things. When you have guests come over your house, you know, you treat them, you know, it's temporary, right? But yeah, everything's all proper, blah, blah, blah. And then as soon as they leave, you know, you become your real self. Can I get an amen? That's religion. Okay, I'm going to come to church. I'm going to act a certain way. I'm going to dress a certain way. And I'm, okay, yes, God bless you, blah, blah, blah. But as soon as I get home, I'm going to go ghetto again. The living room where he was born was where they ate. It was where they hung out. It was where they slept. It was where they entertained. He invited them right into their living space. 2 weeks ago, my sister and I went to New York. I was speaking in Toronto, so we went to Albany, which is like an hour flight away, 20 minutes, to see our 97-year-old grandmother. 97. My grandmother is incredible. She's 97 years old. She's hardly wrinkled because black don't crack. And my grandmother is half black and half Chinese. Her father was from China. So I have Chinese in me. Ni hao. Ni hao is how are you? Anybody here speak Chinese? Ni hao, you know. I kind of got it right. But my grandmother is half Chinese. For all y'all who follow me on Twitter, you got a pic or Facebook, you saw I sent my picture out of my grandmother 2 weeks ago. So we go there. And my sister and I stayed in the same hotel room. Right? There was two beds. We stayed in the same hotel room. And, I'm like, someone's going to take a picture of me walking into the hotel with this other woman. Right. So we stayed in the same hotel room, and I got to see her for real. I was like, oh, my gosh. She took out our fake hair. She took out our fake teeth. Or I was, she took out, she took off her mask, and I was like, you know, put the curlers in, put the little net on her head. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What's all that? She don't have fake hair, but she gonna kill me when she gets back in town, but she hear this sermon. I don't know. Y'all, matter of fact, if you don't know my sister, she works it, so she sits right over here usually. So if you want to stay around and see her next service, she'll be sitting right there. You can laugh at her. My sister's real cool. She'll be like, oh, this is great. But anyway, but for real, I was like, yo. And so she would never do that with you because you're not family, okay? You're not family. Inviting Jesus in as family is like, Lord, I'm not going to hide anything from you because your family knows. I've seen all that before. I mean, we grew up together. We have five kids in our family. My brothers and sisters, I have two brothers, two sisters. My mother had five kids within 6 years. My mother's like 4'11". She's like this big. And she was busting us out every 11 months. She's bam, bam, another kid, bam, bam, bam. Matter of fact, my oldest sister is only 50 weeks older than me. There's 52 weeks in a year. So we're the same age for 2 weeks. What was up with they had no cable back then, right? There was no cable. And no cell phone, no smart, there's nothing to do, right? So we all took baths together, all five of us, for economy of water. We were all in the bay in the bathtub at the same time. Matter of fact, Christmas 1965, I'm guessing, or no, it's probably 1967, we're all in the bathtub together, all five of us. And we heard ho, ho, ho outside the bathroom window. It was a black Jamaican. My father was, it wasn't Santa Claus, but we all ran out of the tub all butt naked, you know, because we didn't want Santa to see us up because we didn't think we'd get our gifts. So I seen all that. So you know, we've been there, done that. So I'm looking at it going, you know, what's up with this? And when you invite Christ into your life as a family member, the Bible, Jesus says, who are my brothers and sisters? Those who obey my will. Jesus is not some guy in heaven or some God in heaven or some ancient figure that we pray to as a picture on a wall. If you go to Catholic church where I grew up, you had Jesus on the cross looking at you when you walk in. Yeah, he's like, yeah. You did this to me, all right? He wants a relationship as a family member, as a brother, sister, father, where he can relate to you. There's no secrets. You can't lie to your family. I mean, you can lie, but they know, because they know. And so when you ask Christ into your life as a family member, you're saying, Lord, I'm giving you full access. Jesus wants full access. Christmas season is a holiday that a lot of people celebrate, but it's Christianity is not Christmas. The gospel is not propositional truths in a book. It's a person, and it's a relationship with that person as a family member. He, you know, Papa says, I was listening to a song this morning, driving here, we're all God's children. That's not true at all. That's not true. You become a child of God when you ask him to be your dad. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 that you're a child, we're born sinners, and sinners are children of God's wrath. And so when you are born again, you become a child of God. You are not my father's child, and you are not my child unless you are born of my father or born of me. Same in the natural, same in the spiritual. So all people are not children of God. And by the way, Jesus said, my true brothers and sisters and family members are not even those who pray the prayer, or not even those who go to church, or those people who actually do the will of my Father. And you can't do the will of the Father unless the Father's Spirit lives in you. So it's very specific. So he says, listen, I want to become part of your family, but you got to do it my way, because every family has its own rules. Every family has its own rules. How many of y'all family got some rules? You know, Big Mama got, you come to Big Mama's house, Mama got the rules. You know, because you come in and say, oh, should I take my shoes off? Can I sit here? Where's Dad sit? You know, God has the same rules. Okay, number three, in your notes. Make room for Jesus in your everyday life. Now, him as a family member is more of an intimacy thing. Lord, I can't trick, fool, lie, deceive my family. When they look me in the eye, they see right through me. So I want to have that kind of relationship with you. You know all my junk, God, and God knows all your junk. You know what's amazing about God is that he knows all your junk and he loves you anyway. He knows all your junk and he loves you anyway. I was doing a workshop recently for some guys, about 20 guys, on pornography. And I was explaining sex in the brain and how to, you know, how your brain gets rewired to look for sex everywhere, blah, blah, blah. And the guys were just sitting there like this. They were like, their eyes were like, ah, man, we're busted. I mean, I am busted was written on all of their faces. They were just like, man, he's describing exactly the way it is. And as I was explaining this, one guy raised his hand. He says, how do we rewire our brain? In other words, can you just get to the part where we get fixed? You can stop right now. We already get it. It was hilarious. And I actually said this. I said, man, this looked like this is what you just did. They all started laughing. Like, yeah, brother, can you get to the end part where we can get out of this trap we're in? God knows. The point is that they were busted. You're already busted. You can't hide anything from God. And so that's the part as a family member, Lord, your word discerns the thoughts and intents of my heart. Then it says, then the point about inviting Jesus to every day, every part of your life, every day, is give God access to all your life, because I'm not with my family all the time. I spend a lot of time at work or with other people who don't know me as well as my family, right? Let Jesus impart of those parts of your life as well. In other words, let him know your dreams. Give him access to your dreams, your aspirations, your struggles. There was a guy in the Bible, his son was demon-possessed. And Jesus said, do you believe I can heal your son? He says, yes, I believe. But Jesus, can you help my unbelief? There's a part of me that doubts. Give Jesus your doubt. It's one of the most profound prayers. Anytime you talk to God, I say it as a prayer, or plea to God as a prayer, is to say, God, I doubt. Don't raise your hand. You can if you want, but don't raise your hand. But how many of you have errors in your life? You say, man, I wish God would change this area. I wish God would control this area. I wish God would purify this area. We all have them. We all have them. Give that to God. In other words, don't be a Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening Christian. Be a 24 hours a day. Lord, I want you to have access to every thought, every desire. I was talking to you a few weeks ago about REM paralysis. REM is rapid eye movement. That during your sleep, you have 5 REM cycles or so. Every 90 minutes or so, you have a REM cycle. Where you have rapid eye movement, but also it's the most activity in your brain. Your brain activity is higher than even when you're awake. And it's during that REM cycle that you dream. And it's during that REM cycle that you have REM paralysis, where your body can't move. That God has designed this, because God is he is beyond genius. He's beyond genius. And he designed animals, living animals, that when you dream, that the nervous impulses to your feet and hands are cut off. Why? So you don't act out your dream. Can you imagine if you acted out your dream? This church would be packed. People would be praying for mercy. But the point is that you're experiencing this in your head, and somehow your body says, I am not going to act on those things. You're taking those thoughts captive. And asking Christ to be a part of every part of your life is to say, Lord, I'm going to go make this business deal. What do you think? I'm not going to act unless you say so. I'm going to get into this argument with this person, but I'm not going to say what I shouldn't say until you give me permission to say it, and to say it the way you would say it. Is that you would ask Christ to be part of every part of your life, and it's not just Christmas season, Easter season, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, whatever it is for you. It's every day, all day. And as a family member, someone who can look, who's right in your business and knows your business. And so in a minute, we're going to pray. And here's your opportunity to say, Lord, you know what? I want to invite you in like the owner of this house. I got a lot of stuff going on in my life. But you know what? I'm going to make room for Jesus. Everyone say, make room for Jesus. He and your relationship with him is the most important thing you can have in your life. Christmas is a very stressful and sometimes depressing period of the year for certain people for a lot of different reasons. God wants access to all of that all day, every day. That's the relationship he wants. And some people have not given that to him. Someone once asked me, do I believe people can lose their salvation? I said, well, let me ask you this question. If someone got married and the day after they got married, they asked their wife or spouse, husband, and said, how many times can I cheat on you before you leave me? This is the day after the wedding. How many times can I cheat on you before you leave me? Do you think that person was ever really married? They went to the ceremony. They said, I do. They signed the certificate. But they really weren't married here. A lot of people pray prayers and we have this religious ceremonial relationship with Jesus, but we're not married. And marriage, by the way, two becoming one, is a metaphor for salvation, according to the Bible. And so what I'm talking about is saying, Lord, I really want to surrender. I really want to be married. I really want to be united as one. And let me take the marriage metaphor one step further. The church collectively is the bride and Jesus is the groom all throughout the Bible. Even in the Old Testament, Israel was the wife and God was the husband. It's a relationship. So, Lord, I really want to have this oneness with you. I don't want to just play the game. I want you in every part of my life as a family member. And I want to make room for you. And by the way, Jesus, I'm going to give you all the room you want. All the room you want. The big fella needs room. I don't know if I was watching the movie African Cats. I only saw the last part of it. I got to see the rest of it. I love me some cats. I love animals, for that matter. But a lion needs 100 square miles as his territory. So when my daughter was living in our house, she's 26 now, she doesn't live with us anymore, she was a lion. Unfortunately, I'm a lion too. And two lions can't live in the same 100 square miles. So someone had to go. And it wasn't going to be me. I wasn't making room for that lion. Jesus says, I'm the Lion of Judah. I need room. So move out of the way all the stuff you want and let me have access. By the way, whatever's got to go, you will be glad because he will replace it with something better. So let's all bow for a word of prayer and listen very carefully. Lord, we thank you for being so good to us. We thank you that you love us, and we thank you that you know everything about us and you love us anyway. And you offer us salvation anyway. And Lord, there are people sitting here, there are people watching online, watching in North County, and their life has been too crowded and busy for you. They've been just preoccupied with other things. They have a relationship with you, but it's arm's distance. It's not intimate. It's not pervasive, invasive. There are parts of their life that they haven't surrendered to you. If any of that applies to any of you, I want you to pray this prayer of surrender and that you would be like the owner of this house that Jesus was born in. The owner said, you know, even though we have guests already, even though we have a busy schedule, even though it's crowded, we're going to let you come in right where we live. And we're going to center our whole few days around you, as long as you're here. If you would like to ask Christ into your life, that he may fill your heart, your dreams, your thoughts, your desires, and he may move out of your life all that stuff that's crowding the joy out of your life, all the stuff that's cluttering your mind. Just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe Jesus is Lord, and that he died and rose from the dead for my sin. Jesus, I believe you love me and that you know who I am. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart. I invite you into my life as my Savior and my God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up if you prayed that prayer. If you watch it online, we want you to respond right there online so we can talk with you and encourage you. If you're in North County, there's going to be someone there to minister to you as well. So if you pray that prayer and you're saying, yes, Lord, I want to invite you into my house, my life, my heart, I want you to stand to your feet and acknowledge that you prayed that prayer and that you received from him his forgiveness right here in this building. Just stand to your feet. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We see you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We see you. God bless you. God bless you. We see you all over. We see you in the balcony, all over the room. God bless you. Stay standing. Very good. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. And now we're going to do one more thing. As you're standing in a minute, I'm going to ask you to come down to the altar. If you're in the balcony, all you have to do is turn around and walk up, and the ushers will bring you down. And I want to ask everybody else not to move. We want to welcome these people. We don't want to lose them in the traffic of you walking out. So right now, if you're standing up, just come up out of your seat. Come down to the altar. Bring your family member. Let's give them a hand. They come on down. How are you doing? How are you doing? God bless you. 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 How you doing? God bless you. 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 Hello. How are you? God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. 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 Amen. Here's my encouragement to all of you and all of you is God, Jesus, deserves and he wants full access to everything. This is not a religion thing. Let me shake your hand, young lady. This is not a religion thing or God bless you. Very good. God bless you. He wants full access. And the much more access you give him, the more blessings you will receive and experience, the more transformation you will receive and experience. But if you just say, Lord, I'm just going to come to church and for this hour and a half think about you and the rest of my life I'm going to do the same, it ain't going to get any better. You're just playing church. That's not what this is about. It's a relationship, and he is the boss of the relationship. It's not an equal partnership. His opinion is more important than yours, and he knows more than us. Amen? Amen. So we're going to pray for y'all, and then we're going to walk y'all into that room and just remember what we do. We're not going to leave until we get them all in that room. And by the way, when you do leave, after I dismiss you, I'll dismiss you after they get to that room. I want to encourage you to go into the park. We have some ministry opportunities. Take you a few minutes. And bring a toy, please, next week or during the week so we can minister to our city. So let's pray for them. We're going to cheer for them into the room, and then we'll dismiss you. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you so much for these people, and we pray you bless them. We pray you do something supernatural in their life. And we pray this Christmas season, you will have full access into our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a right turn and walk this way. Let's give him a hand. Come on. Amen. Amen. Say Jesus. Thank you very much for staying and cheering for them. God bless you. Go check out the park in the back.